Started when I was 8 years old, got called all sorts of swear words and monkey.
I'm listening to your story and I'm like, my heart is sinking. I feel like I'm on the verge of tears and you're here pissing yourself laughing.
I have to move forward. Yeah. Part of my reality beast, but it's not part of my identity. Situation that fueled me. I want to be the best version of myself. You can't be half-hearted about it. As an entrepreneur, what I've learned over the years is you need to go hard or go home. See, the risks you're taking need to be calculated and where you are in that moment in time. But the biggest thing that entrepreneurship will give you is wisdom. The more you have gained wisdom through trial and error, the more successful you're going to be. The key to success is what you know and who you know. Most people can't handle the pain. Oh, 3 months of shaking. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a stripper next month. I need to find ways to make money. It's a lie. They are selling dreams about freedom and you make your own schedule and you'll be a millionaire in 3 years. Wrong.
Picture this. You're in a stuffy auditorium. You've just had a bite to eat for lunch. So it's the mid-afternoon slump and you've heard pitch after pitch after pitch from one nervous founder to the next. Then all of a sudden, bam, Anu Obe, founder of To All My Black Girls, bursts onto the scene and now joins us on Strategy and Tragedy. Welcome to the show, Anu. All right, you are such high energy. I was saying before, I didn't really need to buy you a coffee because you need coffee as much as I do. So this is going to get loud.
Trust me.
All right, so we'll give the listeners some context to what I was talking about there in a sec. But first of all, tell us about To All My Black Girls.
So my brand, we specialize in natural textured hair extensions for Afro-Caribbean hair types. And it all, my journey started when I was 8 years old. I always say this because very important to know. And my mum used to chop my hair to a level one. And I used to go to school like that. And obviously I hated my hair. I didn't want to go. My mum always said, you look like Halle Berry. No, I didn't. You know, I didn't like my hair. And effectively, I think the journey of not understanding and not appreciating my natural hair because I just didn't know what to do with it. And my mum didn't know what to do with it. And so many other families and black girls didn't know what to do with their hair, led us down a spiral where we just had, you know, self-hate for our natural hair. A lot of girls were relaxed, so they didn't even know what their real hair looked like. And it just got to the stage where eventually people started realizing that we need to go back to ourselves. We need to figure out our hair. And so about 7 years ago, that was when I basically went back to myself and figured out my hair and started To All My Black Girls so that we could support people who were going through that same journey of chopping off their relaxed hair and then figuring out how to maintain their natural hair, but also to have hair extensions, natural hair extensions to complement that look.
Yeah.
And you know, I said this to someone the other day. I said, literally, my brand gave me what my mum didn't give me, which was hair. Yeah. Natural hair, literally. So
if anyone's watching the video version of this podcast, then check out Anu Obe and her hair. You look amazing. I love the whole look, outfit. And, you know, I wanted you on this show for many, many reasons, like your energy, your profile, what you're doing. But re-listening to you talk about your business has reminded me of how emotional it makes me feel. And that same level of emotion, even in that short pitch that, again, we'll talk about in a sec, it makes me feel kind of wobbly. I could feel myself tearing up. Ooh. No, Jeb, because it's on the surface of it, it's something that seems, that could seem so superficial, but it's so much more important. It runs so much deeper than that. So can you talk a little bit to that point, how it is, it isn't just hair extensions?
Yes.
Like the deeper meaning, the importance that it has for you and your customers with your business.
And okay, so that's why I named my brand To All My Black Girls, because I didn't want it to be like, it was just about hair extensions. It was about black women, empowerment, empowering black women and the journey that we go through as black women that other ethnic groups just can't relate to. So yeah, like growing up with, like a lot has changed in society. So maybe now people can't quite understand what it was like back then, but back then, like, I'm one of the only black people in my class, or if not school, got bullied a lot. People, big lips that everyone is going for, I used to get bullied for. Flat nose, got called all sorts of swear words and monkey and, Yep, N words. Yep. So I had, that was my experience growing up. And then to top it off, I didn't have hair. People used to think I was a boy. No, you know what's so funny? You need to put the picture on because my mum literally made me wear earrings so people knew I was a girl.
We'll get the picture. We'll put up the picture.
I have a picture of my brother. Both of us were on a bus. We have the same haircut.
Do you know what I love so much about, I mean, I'm so spoilt for choice with the amount of stuff that I love about you, Anu, but I'm listening to your story and I'm like, my heart is sinking. I feel like I'm on the verge of tears and you're here pissing yourself laughing. And you're making me laugh and yeah. It's hilarious. And you find the hilarious, you know, jokes and the comedy side of it. Is that part of just your personality?
Yeah.
Like, would you consider yourself naturally a very optimistic person?
Absolutely. Always optimistic.
Yeah, interesting.
Even the journey of business, yeah. You can't dwell in the
exactly.
In the bad
this is exactly what I'm kind of connecting
you
it to.
You have to move forward.
Yeah.
And also it's a part of my reality, but it's not part of my identity.
Mm.
It's something I went through, but yeah. You know, I've overcome it and I'm who I am today.
Yeah.
So I don't like to let things really get to me. We have to move on. And
we need to double click into this because it's so inspirational. It's so, so admirable. And like I, for one, would definitely need some of that energy in my life as well. Optimism, that, you know, energy, that positive outlook is so vital in entrepreneurship. So that's yeah. exactly what I'm kind of connecting it to as well. The resilience, moving forward, you know, not dwelling, not having that victim mindset. Is there anything that you can share beyond just, oh, I'm naturally a very optimistic person? Like, given this shit that you've gone through, given these tough times, I mean, I can't even imagine. This is like tip of the iceberg, what you've just rattled
Absolutely.
Off, right?
Yeah.
So have there been any specific people, books, tools, moments in your life that have helped you to find your confidence? Because the theme of confidence was a big thing I wanted to get into with you today as well.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
Do you know what? Growing up, I generally have always been that person that was, I don't know if it's middle child syndrome.
Oh, you're middle child.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it you feel like you have
it's rebellion.
Be louder to stand out?
No, it's, okay, so there's a part of me that I grew up in an African household. We're loud. That's Nigerian household. They're loud and they're honest. And I was received that my whole life. So I became that as well. But then also I think middle child, there's a sense of rebellion. So if they say you can't do it, you do it anyway. So because we are the forgotten child, right?
Right.
So that's probably had an, you know, contributed towards my personality.
Mm.
But I do think I've also nurtured it.
Mm.
And I've had people that have supported me that have said, no, keep being yourself over the years.
Nice.
Where, you know, some people, I mean, I've lost a lot of friends, don't get it twisted. Growing up, I wasn't the person that had loads of friends. You know, people looked at me weird. She's weird. She's loud. You know, I was the weird, unusual person. You couldn't put me in a square box. So it had its, you know, negatives as well. But I feel like I just wanted to, like, as I was growing up, people started embracing that. And then also, I have done a lot of self-development. A lot of self-development. I'm not trying to brag, but I think I'm like 15 years ahead of my time.
Wow, amazing. All right, well, let's get into the self-development.
Yes.
What do you mean? Like books, therapy, coaching?
So it all started, I think my journey really started when I was 18. And this was the time, and this, oh no, 18? Yeah, 18. This was literally the point of about to start working on all my black girls. So I remember I went through a breakup and it was horrible. And it was at that point that I said, I was thinking about the idea for like several months, but I didn't materialize it. But that breakup fueled me like no other.
Wow.
And I just like, I need to do this business. I'm doing it right now. And I was working on it every day. And I was at uni at the time.
This is what I was just about to ask.
Yeah.
18, I was wondering if you were at uni
yeah, 18,
as well. Okay. Which uni, what were you studying? Just to paint the
picture.
Yeah,
so I went to, I first went to De Montfort in my first year in Leicester. And then I went to Roehampton in Barnes. So I had now transitioned.
What were you studying?
Business management.
Oh.
Yes.
So what, you were already like, I'm into business,
yeah.
I want to be in
a... Ah. I knew that since I was a child.
Ah,
that I've always been into business.
Nice.
I used to sell sweets at school when I was 10.
Amazing.
I think every entrepreneur used to had a hustle when they were younger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then I used to sell clothes on eBay when I was like 12. So I always had that in me too.
I love that.
Yes.
All right, so it's a rewind, 18, uni.
No, it's good you've gone back because I was actually going to say, at one point, I did think I was going to be a singer. Now, one thing I failed to mention, I went to theatre school. So that might have contributed towards my personality as well.
Yeah.
But my mum put me in there. Oh, I asked to be in there because I genuinely enjoyed to be music, singing, dancing, acting. Like, I loved all of that.
Nice.
That was me.
Yeah, nice.
So
it's really, just as we hold that thought for a second, it's really interesting how the right combination of ingredients can take the same situation and go one of two very polar opposite directions. Mm. So what I mean by that is, you can experience the bullying, being the odd one out, not quite fitting in, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, if you're not naturally positive or got a good family environment, all those other things that you mentioned, it's you're on kind of a knife edge with going down the other way. But obviously, you've got a supportive family, the middle child syndrome, being an actual performer, like all those things have meant that being the odd one out for you, you've leveraged that as opposed to letting it kind of make you shy away further, right?
I love the fact you said that, absolutely. So yeah, my mum, I told my mum that I wanted to be in theatre school and I, she obviously encouraged me in that direction. I thought I wanted to be a singer, you know? So obviously I was doing all the things, which theatre school, I put your kids in that because I think it encourages confidence.
Yeah.
Even if they're not going down that direction.
Yeah.
Just put them in uncomfortable situations because some people are really shy. Oh no, I don't want to be in front of camera. Oh no, I don't want to be on stage. What a big deal. Make your kids uncomfortable with being, make your kids comfortable with being uncomfortable and then they will be confident when they grow older.
As a fellow ex-theatre student, we've got so much in common. I've definitely come to recognise the amount of benefits that have that I've been able to apply in my professional career that aren't obvious. You wouldn't obviously connect the dots. So what you're talking about there with isn't obvious, or like build your confidence, go on stage, all the rest of it, like find your voice, like for sure. One of the big things that really helped me, and I only came to realize this, you know, when I was properly in my career, was improvisation. Don't know how much of that you got to do at theater school, but like where you're put in, you've just got an opener and you just have to like think on the spot, how helpful that is when you're in, when you're pitching or in a sales conversation or hosting a podcast potentially, like there's, and you can pick and choose kind of what you want to, you know, take forward and help kind of propel you along. But anyway, so back to your story.
Back to my story. So yeah, I was 18 and then I went through the breakup. I was like, I'm gonna start this business. I was thinking about it for months. I eventually did it. I just want to say something quite funny whilst I'm on the topic of this breakup.
please.
He was cheating on me with a girl and then me and this girl became friends. And I remember chit-chatting with her on the phone all day, every day, trying to get over my heartbreak. And like, I was like, listen, girl, I'm moving on with my life. I'm watching, like, reading The Secret, Law of Attraction. I'm doing self-development. I don't know about you. But she was still, like, in that relationship because she was, like, with him longer. So I was, like, the one that came in at a later stage. So she was like, it's been a year. I was like, it's been a few months for me or whatever. But literally the funniest part was it was that situation that fueled me in all areas of my life.
Yeah.
So I gained strength to move forward, but to move forward in a positive direction that would impact, positively impact my life.
Yeah.
So then I was just like, I want to be the best version of myself.
Amazing.
So that's when I started reading The Secret. It all started with The Secret, by the way.
Okay.
That book. Yeah. I bought the book. I read the book. I watched the movie. And now I've watched it more than 1,000 times.
Wow.
Amazing. Literally. I have it in the background sometimes when I'm working.
Wow.
And then it kind of transferred into just knowing more, listening to all the different people on The Secret. So Abraham Hicks, I used to binge watch her. There are different mentors and gurus and, you know, spiritual people that were from that show. And it just changed my mindset completely.
Wow. And 18 as well, like such a kind of ripe age for that too, where like you're coming into adulthood.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, you haven't got all these like fixed, you know, forms of thinking. You're there, you're kind of getting revved up,
absolutely,
shaping your mind. I love it.
And then it was when, and then all while I was doing that, I was working on the business.
Right.
So I was doing that, I think it was, and I even left my uni stuff. I was like, don't care about uni, I need to do this.
Yeah,
like, I was so into working on this business that it consumed me,
yeah,
but in a good way.
Yeah,
I loved it, I enjoyed
passion,
it.
Just the passion. Yeah.
And then all the while I was growing with myself. I was reading books as well. I was really indulged in just making my reality, making my life better and making my life the reality that I want.
Yeah.
And so.
Master of Your Own Destiny.
Yeah.
Just while we're on that, saying all these books, top three books that have impacted you. So The Secret, can you name two others?
Yeah, I'm actually reading why have I forgotten the name of the book?
It's on the tip of your tongue. What does the front cover look like? We'll get there. It's fine, I'll help you figure it out.
In my head, I want to say the 5 a.m. club, but it's not the 5 a.m. club.
Like morning routines?
Yes, it's like morning, it's...
something along those lines.
Yeah, it's okay. Like being in the morning, 8 a.m. Yeah.
Okay.
Something morning, what to do before 8 a.m.
Right.
I really like that book. I haven't finished it, obviously. That's why I can't tell you what the book's about. Okay, let me think. What other book? Do you know another thing I love? Documentaries.
Yeah, same. Yeah,
Every documentary I watch, nice. And I love all documentaries.
Yeah.
Except crime. I'm not a big fan of the crime ones. Right. They'll keep me up all night. But just, I love educating myself.
Are there any business documentaries that you've really kind of?
I love watching successful people.
Yeah,
in all facets.
Yeah,
I did watch the one with Misguided. There was one.
Oh,
did you ever watch that one?
Yeah, but it was more of a series.
It was more of a series. Yeah. That was very inspiring.
Yeah.
The
CEO comes across crazy pervy though.
Do you?
Because they like get off at the end. Really like unprofessional. I thought that was gross. Yeah, you might need to rewatch it.
Wait,
looking at your face. Yeah.
I can see on your face. I don't,
you know exactly what
that.
I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh. Watch it to the end.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, I don't know, it doesn't come off well in my opinion anyway. Yeah, yeah. Kind of gross, but anyway.
The Power is another book, which is by Rhonda Byrne.
Oh, yeah, okay, I've not
so
read that one.
So it's the same author. Oh.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
I've read that, because I'm saying listening, because I do Audible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I've listened to that one a lot as well.
Cool.
Also, I would say, I'm just trying to think now. Yeah, those are my three. The 8 a.m. one.
These handful Power. That you've suggested, that you've recommended here, what comes to mind for me is, did you say Rhonda Barnes is the name of this author?
So Rhonda Byrne, yeah.
Byrne, sorry. Like these authors, people in these documentaries, do you think that there's kind of a lack of like black role models as well? Because like a lot of these, I think like they sound like they're kind of all they're white people. So like, is that something that you pick up on? Is it some? Do you have other kind of people you look up to?
There was really one black lady, Lisa Nichols, on that book and the series as well.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily look at race.
Yeah.
I just look at wisdom.
Yeah.
So for
nice.
Me, it's a source of wisdom. I don't care what color they are.
Yeah.
And I mean, lately, I be reading the Bible.
Interesting.
I'm a Christian now.
Yeah.
Well, I was a Christian before, but I've renewed my faith in Christ.
Okay.
So I've been reading the Bible lately. And the Bible has a lot of wisdom, guys.
Yeah.
The Bible has a lot of wisdom.
Quick one. This is Future Steph coming to you from beyond. If you're enjoying this episode, then you can probably guess what I want you to do. Please do me one tiny favor that costs you nothing and takes a second of your time. Hit that subscribe button. It really helps to support this show. And I'm really grateful for you listening. Let's get back into it. We had Andy Ayim on the show as well, the founder of Angel Investing School. And we got into spirituality and had a really interesting chat about that. And he was talking about the Bible. And he had said about kind of the acronym. Sorry, let me see if I can remember it. I think it was like basic instruction. You're gonna have to help me out here. Basic instructions for, it spells out Bible. For like best life, something along those kind of lines. But yeah, it's essentially what you're saying. It's like, well, the amount of wisdom, it's like a manual to live a good life.
Yeah, the manual for life. Yeah, like it's a life manual.
Back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a lot of words of wisdom there.
What renewed your faith?
Yeah. I feel like we're fast forwarding now. Like we've gone past the start.
We'll get back to it. Don't worry. I'm keeping track.
But yeah, no. So it was just. I just feel like I needed to. I was down the spiritual route since I was 18 till like last year.
Right.
And I feel like it gets you to only a certain level, but there's another level that I'm trying to tap into, and I really want to connect deeper with God. And have God on my right shoulder like this, that I can see and I can talk and I can feel and I can know is there. And unfortunately, spirituality just won't give you that. It will give you a lot of good things. It will give you a level of peace. I did learn a lot. It has shaped me to who I am today. But I just know that now my journey into Christianity is going to give me another level, which I'm so eager to experience.
Amazing. I'm so excited for you. I love this.
Thank you.
All right, so let's rewind then. So you're at uni, you became friends with your ex-boyfriend. I love her. Built your business. How did you get it, like, while we're kind of in those earlier sort of days, how did you get it, like, off the ground? How did you find your first customers, like, your first paying customers? How did you find them?
So all I really did, honestly, was create an Instagram page, post my logo and like one or two products on Instagram. I think it was just Instagram. And like just set up the website. All I did was make sure everything was in place. So do my website, do my logo, branding, bought stock. And I made my own website, by the way. So kudos to me.
Yeah, well done.
I know.
Well done, amazing. And you're saying you bought your own stock. So what you
bought the stock.
Product up front.
Yes, up front.
Before you had the customers.
Mm-hmm. Before I had the customers.
So how did you know how much to buy? What styles? If you didn't.
So really, it was just all guesstimate. When I was planning this business, so I always say, I don't know if I've said this a lot, but I had a friend. So this is why I feel like the secret, the law of attraction, God, whatever, you know, you want to call it, spiritual power was aligned with me because everything went so smoothly. Like my friend, I met someone, went to transition into Roehampton University. Within 3 months, I'd met this guy and I said to him, I want to start this business. I need money. And he gave me like $2,500 to put into the business. And I was like, I'll pay you back. Don't worry. Like as soon as I make money, I'll pay you back. But I just wrote him, like on a piece of paper, I was like, okay, I'm gonna buy 4 stocks of this and it's gonna cost this much and this is how much profit we're gonna make. And it was just one piece of paper.
I love that.
I just put down everything that I was gonna get from the sale.
Do you know why I love this?
Before I'd even started the business.
Do you know why I love this so, so, so much? Anyone who knows me, they're sick of hearing me say, one of my favorite sayings is complexity is the enemy to execution. Because I'm so action driven. I love making stuff happen. So like faff and complications getting in the way of that just like angers and frustrates me on like another level, which obviously makes sense for me being in like startup land. But to your point here on this fantastic story, like this is another example of like how overcomplicated we can make things.
Absolutely.
It can just be, you know, we laugh about it, but it can take out a piece of paper. Yeah. The amount of times I've done this with founders as well, right? To be like, right, how much coming in? Yeah. How much you expect the cost? Profit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like just at least to begin with, because I think if you overcomplicate like a business plan and like 10 page doc, it's like just let's get started. A business plan is great until you know you go out into the real world and you get punched in the face.
Absolutely.
Like 1,000%. So I love that you did that and you answered a next question I was going to ask you anyway, which was obviously as a student getting started was obviously the financing.
Yeah.
So you already answered that, which is
amazing. I used my student loan as well.
Wow. Okay.
So he gave me 2.5. I had 2.5 from my student loan.
Wow.
And that's the money I put together to start.
And so most of that was to buy the stock because I imagine the website and everything's not that expensive anyway.
I mean, I remember like I spent like £250 on a logo or something and I was like, oh my God, £250, this is a lot of money. Like I was trying to haggle with the girl like, what is this £250 I'm spending on a logo? But guess what? That was the best investment I could have made. She made my branding for me.
I won't tell you how much fucking Ogilvy charges to do branding. If you're like jaws on the floor for £250, then I'll let you.
I was on a budget and I was like,
So most into
but
stock,
you know what's so funny before I say that I didn't want to spend that money, so I paid somebody else like £50 like on one of these freelance websites and it was rubbish.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh no, now I have to spend the money on this girl that I really wanted to use.
I love so much.
And then it's funny because she really, it was beyond a logo.
Yeah, exactly,
it
was brand.
She did my packaging as well.
Yeah.
So then she gave me ideas on the color scheme. I didn't even have a color scheme then. I just knew I wanted it purple. And then she came with pink and gray and this. And I was like, oh, I've got branding now. And it was just perfect to the T. She hit the nail exactly what I wanted.
That's a really important message to share. I'm so glad that you kind of shared that extra tidbit, because again, it's the saying, buy cheap, buy twice.
Absolutely.
So the fact you kind of went through it, I hear that story over and over again, usually on the tech side of things, because like the tech development for, you know, kind of like a tech startup or scale up, that often requires quite a lot of venture capital investment just in like the product development, and the amount of founders who are, again, like, it's a lot of money. If they've got external investors, they've got them breathing down their necks. So they're lured by the promise of outsourcing it to an offshore, you know, development agency in the Philippines or India or wherever, a fraction of the cost. But the nightmares that have come with those have been some of the worst nightmare stories I've ever heard. So glad you were nowhere near, but you still had that experience of buy cheap, buy twice.
Oh yeah.
So absolutely. I think it's an important message to share. So sometimes it pays to pay a little bit extra, get it done right. So
even now, I've had obviously loads of experiences of that over the years, but honestly, it's a very low success rate. I think pay right.
Yeah.
And actually, yes, it feels a bit nerve-wracking. I'm spending this money, but spend it. Get a loan, do what you need to do, because if you believe in that passion, you can't be half-hearted about it.
Mm.
And as an entrepreneur, what I've learned over the years is you need to go hard or go home.
Mm.
And even if you go hard and lose it all, it's a lesson.
Mm.
And it shapes you to who you are today. And every year you become stronger and you become a better person in your industry. And wisdom is invaluable. It's invaluable. So, you have to be willing to risk it all. This is a very risky industry. You can't play it safe. There's a lot of competition. If you want to be successful, you have to do things that people are not doing, and it might cost you your life. But is it worth doing it if it's not going to cost you that much? No. And you've spent all this time and you've wasted all this time and effort, and then you're just going to be mediocre and then probably not see the results you want to see.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Amen.
Amen to
that. I love that. I'm with you and I'm loving it and I'm loving the energy, absolutely. What crosses my mind is the level of, you know, there are certain privileges for some people to I guess have that risk appetite. So either, you know, you were just saying something there around like if it costs, I'm totally with you. Like you need to go beyond, you need to go that extra mile, like all the rest of it. But the reality is for some people, it is just a little bit too scary.
Yeah.
It is, I think when it's, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much of it is in your mind, the fear, you know, you got to have that risk appetite to get the huge upside potentially. But if you've got people who don't have a safety net, that don't have family, that may be feeling the pressure of mortgage, rising cut, all the rest of it.
Kids.
Like that's exactly where I'm going. Yeah, exactly.
I think I can agree that if you, maybe because I'm a single young person, you know, no responsibilities,
you've got that
no
fear
man.
Factor,
no,
yeah.
I've got responsibilities, but not real ones, not life threatening responsibilities, you know? Like
right.
I'll be fine. I still can go back to my mum's house and if I need to, you know. So maybe I have that more of an appetite for risk. And obviously if you've got mortgage, kids and real responsibilities, then maybe don't be as risky as I am, because your kids might actually be homeless and that might be a problem for you.
It is something I don't have the answer, and I'm genuinely, you know, I want to get as many perspectives and conversations on this topic, because I have met like people who do have a mortgage and kids and all that, and they've got that exact same risk appetite.
Right.
They've still got like, yeah, you got to go for it. You got to, and there's almost like, there's almost a weird contradiction within, let's see if I can get this out. You almost, if you're going to have that level of risk appetite and you're going to go for it and you're going to go to that level that most other people are just too kind of scared, basically. Like this, I wonder how, is the likelihood of success therefore inherently greater anyway? So it's almost like feel the fear, go for it, because you're already in a tiny minority. So stuff is on your side. But then it's what it comes down to, I reckon, is the balance of being a master of your own destiny, all the stuff you're talking about before, which I'm totally with you on, like take those chances, self-development, make it happen. I get all of that. But again, it's all great until you put it into the real world and it punches you in the face. Bad luck can happen. Things can come in your way, right?
Yeah, of course, things always happen.
Right.
But I don't think... But then you're not supposed to be an entrepreneur. Because if you can't handle the backlash that comes from it, then I just don't think it's for you. You need to stick to a safe job. Because it's... I don't think there's a middle ground with entrepreneurship. I think it actually has to be high risk or safe.
Yeah.
And I also think, obviously, the risks you're taking need to be calculated and it needs to be based on where you are in that moment in time. But one, but the biggest thing that entrepreneurship will give you is wisdom. And I think that the more you have gained wisdom through trial and error, the more successful you're going to be.
That is true. That is actually backed up by research. So I can definitely agree with you on that. I saw an interesting report that literally showed that with every new business, the chances of success
is higher,
steadily increase. Yeah. And it goes all the way up to, there's this great kind of bar chart that shows it visually, and it goes up to even the 10th business, all the way up to like, if you've done 9 or 10 other businesses before, the chances of success with your next venture, I think it's something like 68%, like increases the probability. So like the second business is something like 10 and then 27
Then it gradually
like
increases.
It's like a steady increase. So
that makes sense.
That's totally true. So that, you know, the research backs up exactly what you're saying there. Okay.
I think that ultimately it's a risky business, and we know entrepreneurship is risky.
Yeah.
It's most people fail. So of course it's extremely risky.
Yeah.
But I think that if you're like me, I would rather try then just
try
accept
and
defeat.
No, that does not come as a surprise at all. Right?
You know, like, even if they tell me up front I'm going to fail, I'm still going to do it.
Probably want to do it even more if they tell you that, right?
Exactly. It's just personality.
Yeah.
But it does strengthen you so much.
Yeah.
Resilience. Ooh.
Yeah.
I know I'm so resilient.
Yeah.
Nothing can break me.
Wow.
I know, I look at people, and even when I employ people, and sometimes I think they're so sensitive. Because I forget it's because I've gone through a lot. And now I'm a rock. So I'm like, what's the big deal here?
That's amazing.
And I'm like, oh yeah, sorry, I'm just probably not on your level because I've actually gone through a lot.
Do you know what? This mirrors back a little bit to the earlier days of the story of, you know, how you can either let that, you know, let the negativity grind you down or you use it to fuel you. It's the same kind of thing here. I'm seeing the pattern with the entrepreneurship journey because, you know, in my experience, I've been in situations where I've kind of been once bitten, twice shy type of thing. And I'm like, oh, that was painful. And like, I need to go off and like lick my wounds for a bit. And to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I can do it again. You know, I'm like, that was shit. That was painful. That was horrible. So what just comes to mind on this is there's just a few people I'm seeing a lot at the moment that are encouraging like everyone to be entrepreneurs and like everyone thinking like, we should encourage entrepreneurship. We should all be business. We should all, you know, there's this narrative around taking control of your life and being happier and all the rest of it. But, you know, what we're talking about there with the level of risk appetite that's needed for it, what's your views on like, should everyone be an entrepreneur?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Most people can't handle.
Yeah, exactly.
The struggle. And it's gruesome. I would never say everyone should. I think we need employees. And I think people should be in the areas that make them happy, not everyone should start a business. I think that people feel or think or have the misconception that entrepreneurship means freedom. If anything, it's the opposite. You're tied down even more than your 9-to-5 because now everything's dependent on you and it's so uncertain. And being self-employed is one of the most horrible things. 1 month is great. Next month is shaky. 1 month is great. Oh, 3 months is shaky. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a stripper next month. I need to find ways to make money. Like, it is really gruesome. It is. You need to have your emotions. You cannot be mentally unstable if you want to do entrepreneurship. You have to know how to regulate your emotions because they will take you round and round a roller coaster. And that roller coaster can happen in that same day. That same day, your emotions could have gone like this 10 times because 10 things have happened. So, no, it's not for everyone. not everyone at all.
Oh, Anu, I'm totally
And the thing is, I always say to people, I'm very qualified because I know, I've been doing this for a while and I know that personality-wise, I'm very qualified in this position, but even I'm almost not qualified.
Yeah, I get it.
So imagine me saying that. Like, I know. It's like, basically, you've trained to be a doctor, but then you're not, you can't be a doctor. Even though you've done 7 years. Oh no, I should be qualified. No, that's how thin the window is to entrepreneurship. It's so slim. It's like a 0.1% of people that can really handle it.
Wow.
Even if they are qualified.
Yeah.
So I don't agree that they should be advocating everyone can be an entrepreneur. Oh, you get this freedom. It's a lie. They are selling dreams about freedom and you make your own schedule and you'll be a millionaire in 3 years. Wrong. Just be in the industry that you enjoy. That's all. That's what we should be promoting.
Yeah.
Get in an industry that you enjoy. Don't start business.
Yeah. Oh, Anu, I feel like I just want to like amen everything you're saying. I totally get it. Totally resonate. You're just hilarious with it as well. I love it. I'm just cracking up here. Unbelievably, because I've got like 20 more questions I want to ask you and I feel like we're barely like getting stuck in. We're running out of time. It's crazy.
We just scratched.
Just barely. Just not even, I think it's a bit of a tickle. Not even a scratch.
Come back.
Just a bit of... If you want a part two, exactly, leave a comment. Part two. What's your favorite emoji? Do you always use an emoji? A go-to signature emoji?
Hearts, pink, purple heart.
Purple heart. Leave a purple heart if you want a part two. I would definitely be up for it. I'd be up for it.
Or crying face. This is not coming to an end. We're just getting started, Stephanie. What is going on?
I know, insane. I just want to make you a permanent co-host with me.
Should we?
I would love that. I would totally be down for that. All right, final question. I'm glad because I wanted to get into your business and like all the rest of it. What I think is important, sorry, just because this is a business podcast, is we were starting to talk about two of my black girls, the way you got started, just because this is helpful advice for other people. You started out organically on Instagram. That's how you got your first customers. Yeah. So just wanted to make sure we kind of covered that bit. Yeah. But I think what's important there is without you spending loads of marketing, advertising, do all this other stuff, what I'm very quickly taking away is you pinpointed a specific need, a specific problem that needed solving in the market. Obviously, I got to hear your amazing pitch at that demo day, which we didn't get a chance to talk about either. So I know all the numbers, the gap in the market. So I think the key takeaway for listeners on that is, you know, is there actually a need? Is there a customer problem that you're putting front and center that you're actually solving for people? And it just makes it easier and cheaper when you come to do the advertising because you're not having to like ram it down people's throats so much. So just wanted to do a very, very quick sort of summary on that one because we didn't get a chance to talk about it properly. Final question, traditional closing question on this podcast. It's called Strategy and Tragedy for a reason. Because as you quite rightly say, being an entrepreneur is not for everyone and it's fucking tough a lot of the time. So what is one big mistake or one, you know, tragedy, so to speak, that's taught you a lesson that you'll never forget?
One. Ooh, there's
been one. So many. That response says everyone.
One.
Just one.
Ooh, okay, I think the one would probably be...
Sport for choice. This is hilarious.
I want to say mentorship.
Okay.
Not getting, someone wanted to invest in my business when I was like 1 year in, but they wanted to be like on the advisory board. They believed in me. I wasn't even doing numbers then. But they met me and they were like, I like you. I want to, they even sent me a contract. They just wanted 5% of my business. I went to a friend to get expertise. He was like, no, don't do it. But he didn't care about the contract. He just said, don't give away your business. He was a white man. He was fairly middle-aged, probably had a lot more experience than I did. And I kind of wish I considered it now. And the reason why I say that is because the key to success is what you know and who you know. You don't even have to be that great at what you do. You just need to have the right information. And had I had gone and seeked that mentor, it could have changed where I am today. And I would have considered it because everyone needs a mentor and you definitely need one in business.
So sorry.
It could have fastened me maybe 10 years ahead of time if I had had the support from potentially that man that I declined.
Oh, okay. So that's just what I wanted to clarify. So you declined this 5%
yeah.
off because you had someone else kind of be like, oh,
in your
maybe
back,
not.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's more of a, because you didn't go for it. So it's more of
a regret.
What could it have been?
Yeah. What could have been.
Yeah.
But even so, I think I still was off the mindset of never give away
right.
any percent.
Yeah.
Like, you can do this by yourself.
Yeah.
You don't need anyone.
But actually,
which was a completely wrong mindset.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
You need people, and you need people who have more experience than you.
Yeah, amazing.
They will get you way further than you can get than yourself
on your own.
And success is about what you know.
Yeah,
and who you know.
I'm just saying after saying with this, it's like that quote again that comes to mind with, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others.
Yes.
So on that note, I'm afraid we're gonna have to wrap it up there. It's unbelievable. I wish we could talk for hours and hours, much, much more. Anu, thank you so much for coming on the show. You've been amazing. You've been everything I expected and more. So you've been wonderful. And thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you've enjoyed this episode. It's been a fun, jam-packed one. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Tune into next week's episode. Episodes are weekly, and we have more great guests and more great tips to help you with your business journey. Thanks a lot.